I couldn't help thinking back to Romeo and Juliet, which we all did at school, where you have the two warring families. How about that for a parallel?
Well, of course, you often find this in literature, that there's a prince, perhaps, who lives in one part of the world, and a princess who lives in another, and their respective families would like them to marry within their nation, but they fall in love nonetheless, and eventually get married. I don't think I used that as a model, but it did occur to me that as I was writing about plates, I could bring in a church plate. And this, of course, is a symbol for the marriage ceremony. And from that, I developed the idea, well, you can have a prince upstairs and a princess downstairs, and eventually they would meet, and there would be the church plate to carry out the wedding.
Sure. Well, this book, in some of the newspaper reviews which I've read, has been likened to Animal Farm in its philosophical ideas and so on. Age groups at the and at the adults successfully?
Yes, I think very much so. I think if you use fantasy, you can have a grown-up level and a children's level, because that the fantasy acts as a vehicle on which to express a number of ideas in a simple, one hopes a simple, and clear fashion. And whilst the story may be enjoyed by children, the grown-ups will probably or possibly see a second level running through it. And this it actually was what I intended. It is, in fact, a philosophical work. That's my main aim. Yes.
It is your intention that children get the message completely?
I don't always think, perhaps when they read the book at 7, 8, 9 or 10, that they will get the second level. But perhaps if they say, yes, I can see now the grown-up theme that's running through it.
What about the moral tone of the book? Do you think it's right that we should teach children to know the problems of warfare and hatred? Because these are forces in the book.
Yes. Of course, children do play at war at a very early age, and I do not see why I cannot point out to them the consequences of what they're doing. Apart from that, an author should not moralise too much, but I think one can point out the consequences, again, of hating or disliking the main basic moral principles of our society, I suppose.
Another thing I liked about the book was that you've chosen these household articles to fulfil particular roles. For example, when the two central characters get married, they're married by a clerical plate. And when there's a battle on the stairs, you're using forks with great big sharp spikes and so on. Very sort of vivid imagery here. What about the questioning nature of children? The first thing to my way of thinking that children would ask an author if they had an opportunity of talking to you as I'm talking to you now is, but bottles don't have hands?
Yes, that's true, but once you accept that there is a fantasy there, then the mind will go out to those things. You say, yes, the bottles don't have hands and arms and legs, and yet in a fantasy they could have, in the mind's eye they could have. And I think the child will accept that, as the vehicle on which to express the story.
I don't think that the illustrations are overdone in this book. They are very splendid black and white illustrations. Did you do them yourself, Ron?
No, they were done by a gentleman called Michael Jupp, who is was a film cartoonist. And he did all the drawings in that book. I think there were about 28 of them there.
How did they come about? How did he sort of implement your intentions? And did the illustrations live up to your interpretation of the characters?
Yes, very much so. We used to meet virtually every evening, I think, when he was doing these drawings, for 3 months. And we went over them one by one. And the aim was to produce a cartoon picture as far as possible, something that's clear and direct, and would come off the page, so to speak, as the child read the story.
Would you like to see the book developed into an animated cartoon?
Oh, very much so.
Is there anything in the offing at the moment?
Not as far as I know.
No. I'd like to see it become an animated cartoon, very much indeed.
Thank you.
Finally, Brian, I gather that there are plans to market the book in the States. How do you think the American audience is going to take to it?
I think the Americans will take to it well. It is being published by St. Martin's Press on April the 14th, and I think, just like a Walt Disney film or anything like this, I think the Americans have a fairly romantic approach to life, and I don't see why they shouldn't enjoy this book as well.
Well, Brian, I wish you every success with it on your first venture. Brian Benabo's book is called The Moonlight Kingdom. It's published by White Lion Books, and it's £2.10. Thank you for coming in, Brian.
Thank you very much indeed.
Well, it's 6:32 here on 206. A little late now, in with the news headlines.
Mr. Jeremy Thorpe has told Liberal MPs that he's prepared to resign as party leader if this is in the party's best interests. Britain's official reserves of gold and foreign currency rose by £668 million last month, but most of it came from a loan from the International Monetary Fund. In Dublin, a High Court judge has granted a conditional order of habeas corpus to Keith Littlejohn, jailed for 15 years for his part in a bank robbery. He claims his detention was unlawful because the court in which he was tried did not have jurisdiction. His case will be heard in 2 weeks' time. In the Commons, MPs from all parties have paid tribute to the Speaker, Mr. Selwyn Lloyd, who has formally announced his resignation. Mr. Wilson praised his skilful, reasonable and firm guidance in Commons affairs, and Mrs. Thatcher said that the House would miss him greatly. The Deputy Speaker, Mr. George Thomas, will replace Mr. Lloyd. Finally, in London, the governors of the St. Marylebone Grammar School have given an undertaking that they won't go ahead with plans to merge the school with a neighbouring comprehensive until a court case brought by the parents is heard. And that's the news at 6:34. To find out what's happening on the roads of London, over to Pam Denton at New Scotland Yard.
A set of faulty traffic lights in Streatham High Road is causing very heavy congestion there, and there are still delays for eastbound traffic on the A127 at the Worley Street flyover. But otherwise, the traffic gradually starting to ease. Pamela Denton, 206 Travel News, Scotland Yard.